Savory Inferiors, and welcome to Vampire Insider, the unofficial podcast of the Immortal Universe, including AMC's series Interview with the Vampire and the Mayfair Witches. With both shows in hiatus, co-hosts Christina LaRusso, Joanne Palumbo, and myself, Mark Snedeker, are engaged in discussions of vampire lore and the supernatural, as well as diving deeper into the shows and Anne Rice's library. Tonight, we're going to be discussing the exciting Season 2 trailer to Interview with the Vampire. We're all going to give you our hot takes as well as what we think it portends for the season ahead. Ladies, welcome.
Hi, Mark Snedeker.
Hi, Christina LaRusso. Can I just tell you how much I have missed you and how much I love you?
Oh, thanks, Joanne.
I'm so glad that we are back. I've missed you, so let's get going.
I know. I'm excited to be back. It's been a long time. And we had quite a few listeners contact us and ask us, you know, where are you? And they were excited for us to come back. So we're really excited to be back, you guys. And what better time to come back? They've just published, not too long ago, this trailer for season two. And I'm beside myself.
So even though Joanne doesn't give a flying fig,
I'm ignoring you. Didn't you notice?
Hopefully some of the listeners are glad to hear from me too. The trailer, it happened. Mm-hmm. It was all that. And Christina, was it also a bag of chips?
It was a bag of chips.
All right. Tell us your...
With dip, everyone. Right. Like French onion, like the really good stuff, that really good homemade French onion dip.
Not homemade, not like in a jar. Yeah.
Ruffles chips.
And Ruffles chips.
Naturally.
Mm-hmm. Of course.
All right. Christina, give us your hot ass take on it.
Well, I'm going to say, as I mentioned, I'm beside myself. I think that
it's true. She's got two chairs here in the studio, yeah. And they're interacting. It's a little weird.
Run, Mark, run!
No kidding. Got a doppelganger.
I think that it is going to be a amazing season. I think that Lestat is going to haunt this season in many ways. We didn't actually get to see Lestat. We may have seen his hand in the trailer, but we saw a portrait of him.
Yes.
And he just looms large. So that's exciting. But the focus is, in the trailer at least, definitely on Louis, on Claudia, on Armand, and Asad Zaman is Armand. Arian, oh my God.
Five times. I counted. They showed him five times.
I can't.
I missed one.
I'm going to devote a lot of this conversation to Asad. It's so much.
We believe it.
We also see Santiago. I am just so thrilled with what it looks like is going to unfold coming in the next season. So let's leave that there as the hot take.
Right on.
Mark, why don't you give us yours?
So very exciting. Apparently we also have Vampire Biker Gang, mm-hmm. which is pretty cool.
Mm-hmm. You think Bruce was part of that?
Yeah.
I don't know. That's a question.
Good question.
The America chapter.
Yeah. Good question. Now, let's just say whoever painted the Lestat portrait, I mean, they didn't hire Michelangelo to do that. Let's just say that. It's a little, they took some liberties. Mm-hmm. But
it's very recognizable.
So, it's very exciting. The theater stuff, those scenes, I just know are going to be just fire. I think you'll have the equivalent of "Take me, Mr. Vampire," you know, just like you did in the movie. So, it's very exciting. Yes, you're going to get tons of Armand, which is going to be, I think, their way of kind of slipping in some of the vampire Armand backstory into the story, even though technically that wouldn't have come up while they were just chit-chatting in the theater. But I think you're going to get to see that. Maybe get some flashbacks with Marius, possibly.
Mm-hmm.
But it's going to be, I mean, I think it's going to be a look after the first season, unless they just completely gut the staff and start over, including the showrunner, I think there's no chance it's not going to be great.
Right.
Right. I mean, he's not going to forget how to make this show. Mm-hmm. So, and now they're really getting to some meaty stuff here, mm-hmm. you know, with the conflict with the Paris Coven, mm-hmm. and, you know, what to do with Claudia, how they're going to resolve that. Very exciting stuff.
Very exciting. Joe, what about you?
Well, Mark, I appreciate your very well thought out an intriguing hot take. So unlike you. So that
yes,
was like
it really is.
Fresh air. Okay. So for me, I guess my hot take is I just want to try to piece together timelines and things like that. And I loved it the first time I watched it, the second, the third. Once I started questioning some things that we'll talk about later, I'm kind of like, this is going to be a really good season. Like, this is going to be so just mind-boggling. I think this is going to be, like, way better than season one. So I'm super excited. I love seeing the motorcycle gang. But, Mark, I immediately thought, like, just correlated it to Bruce and whatever. Something I noticed really cool in the trailer was there's a redheaded child. And again, for everyone listening, like, I don't know the books that well at all. So I don't know if this is something that happens, but I don't think it is. There's a redheaded girl who is kind of standing there with Claudia and Louis. And then all of a sudden she lays down and she nods to Claudia, almost like giving consent.
That's Madeline.
Does Claudia like make herself a friend? That's supposed to be Madeline?
That's Madeline.
That's Madeline, yeah.
But they meant she's a child.
No, she's a woman. Well,
she looked like a child in the thing.
She's a young woman. She's not a child. Okay,
so, yeah, like I said, I know the story of her. She made her like to be a mom or whatever, but I thought it was a little girl.
She's the adult that's sitting in the audience watching the
theater. Right, watching in the theater. Okay. I thought she looked like a little girl. But
an illusion. All right, so are you excited about this at all?
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah, no, I am.
Can you show some enthusiasm maybe?
She's actually got pages of notes.
I know,
Mark,
she does. So she's way ahead of me.
So the beginning of the trailer starts with Daniel Rashid and Armand. With Daniel Rashid / Armand and Louis. And, you know, you see Daniel hit the record button and he says, okay, where did we leave off? That gave me the vibe of like the last one started with, you know, hits the record button. How long have you been a vampire? How long have you been dead? Whatever it was, he asked him, right? But it can't just go from where it ended last season to that scene. Because what I want to see is, and they must have done a really good job not showing it, or they're not going to explain anything of it. When they left off, Rashid exposed himself as Armand. Louis said they were together and, you know, Daniel had his memories back. So they can't just go from that to that, right?
Right,
but
right, right.
Did you see anything in the trailer that would lead you to believe of those, you know, that time frame in between? That blew my mind.
What I noticed about this is precisely that, Joanne. We don't know what happens between, you know, Armand floating up in the air and saying, surprise, surprise, this is, you know, and Louis saying, this is the love of my life. And now all the three of them are sitting down.
That's arguably one of the top three things that people want to know, because it's going to explain why Armand disguised himself as Rashid or said his name was Rashid. So that's going to be a huge piece to the puzzle. And that's my point, is that I realized that after watching it a few times, like, that's the one thing I was missing seeing. And I'm like, they did such a good job, because now we still have no idea. You know, usually a preview kind of gives a little hint.
For me, there must be something that happens after that that explains it. I don't know if we'll see it.
Well, they're not going to give that away.
But they're not going to give that away in the trailer.
I know, but I'm saying they didn't show. It's not like they showed, you know, like the answer, but they didn't show them standing there going, what? You know, like. They gave you nothing.
Nothing. No, no.
And I love that.
I'm going to say that I think Daniel was probably only mildly surprised that Rashid was a vampire.
You think so? Why?
Because he already suspects it.
No, no, not that he's just a vampire, that he's Armand.
Well, of course,
he didn't have specific memories of Armand.
He's getting some back, yeah. So we'll see how complete that is. Honestly, this is going to be, in my opinion, one of the two most difficult narratives to negotiate for the showrunner, which is, why was Armand
pretending to be a servant,
mm-hmm. And how do we deal with Claudia, right? I think those are going to be, because it's not straight up like the book, of course, mm-hmm. or the last movie, so we'll see how they're going to deal with that. So that's going to be super, super interesting. The thing I noticed in that first scene, Louis does not appear to be happy.
Is he ever happy?
Right. And that's why I think that's...
He's like rolling his eyes, fidgeting,
yeah,
and smoking, and just like super stressed out. Mm-hmm. Like, this wasn't his idea to bring you know, his boyfriend forward.
Okay, so for me, that scene, I think we're going to find out that, like, that's not going to be the opening scene of episode one of season two. I think what we're going to be, I think what that is a scene that must follow something else. They've obviously been talking. There's more interview happening.
Yeah.
And I think that you're right. Louis does look uncomfortable in there. I thought it was stunning that Armand was wearing a white shirt. And the whole time in season one, he was always wearing black, and Louis is wearing black, and there was a lot of speculation.
It's like a Dom sub situation.
I definitely could be, because that is 100% Anne Rice's jam, to explore power differential and dynamic.
Interview with the Vampire meets 50 Shades of Grey.
Well,
look,
meets the Sleeping Beauties.
I mean, I'm not going to fight about it. I'm good with it.
Who would you guys say looked in control in that scene? Armand or Louis?
Armand.
Who? Anybody except Louis. Daniel was more in control than Louis was.
The tape recorder was more in control than Louis was. Louis looked like a virgin on prom night. Like, oh boy, where am I going to put this thing? Like, he was terrified.
The giant Eastern European guy passed out in the hallway from being fed upon probably has more control right now.
Had a little more pep in his step than Louis.
Yeah. He looks stressed. He looks cornered. But clearly Armand.
Right? Clearly, I think that
although,
Armand...
Although, you know, Daniel's, you know, setting the agenda right now, but, you know, I think you're right. I think Armand is running the show.
He is, and the interesting thing is that Louis and Armand are across from each other, and Daniel, in that case, is the point of the triangle. And there are triangles in this
trailer.
I loved the triangles. I loved how they would show, you know, Louis and Armand.
What do you mean triangles? Give me more of that.
Triangles being, okay, so there's Louis, Daniel, and Armand. And then you go and you see Claudia, Louis, and Armand in the background, right?
Right.
Then you see Claudia and Madeline and Louis. It's just ever-changing triangles, and it's fascinating to me.
And Louis' dramatic ass is involved in all of them.
Oh, I know he is. Louis, he is such a great character, and I don't think, and I always liked Louis even in the book, right? When we did our first episode and we talked about the book and we said who are our favorite characters, in Interview with the Vampire, Louis is my favorite character. Overall, I really tend to like Armand as a character, but
it's because you're a wannabe murder goblin.
But we've talked about this throughout the season, about the triangles, about the big triangle, which is Louis and Lestat and Claudia, and that triangular relationship, and then how the power dynamic shifts within that triangle. And that's going to carry over into season two. And I am ready. I am ready and here for all of that.
What do you think is bothering Louis? Like, is this just one of those, like, uncomfortable situations where your, you know, out-of-town boyfriend is now back in town and he's going to spill the tea on some embarrassing stuff? Or is he concerned that the Daniel-Louis-Armand previous triangle is going to be brought up and he's not really ready for that? What do you think's going on? Or is he just mad that he's not the boss anymore?
Well, assuming that there was a triangle with them before...
I mean, there seems like there was, you know, of some sort.
There was something. Why would they obscure his memory if there wasn't?
That is actually a very good point. Why would, well, Armand must have been the one that scrambled.
Here's a good
his
analogy.
Memory.
Would you go and have some security footage deleted if there was nothing bad on them?
No.
That's right. So Donald Trump is, while not a vampire, using the same strategy
How
here.
How did this become political?
That's what I do. That's what I do. But I mean, obviously, same principle, right? If you have nothing, if nothing happened, no sense hiding it, right? You're not going to camouflage a tree, right? You're going to camouflage something that's unusual. You don't want people to see.
Yeah.
I mean, what's your speculation? Why is Louis all for Clem?
I think that it's
just his thing.
Well, it is obviously just his thing. Louis makes agony.
It's an art form.
That's his entire personality.
He's in his agony era.
It is his agony era.
I'm getting agony here.
Yeah. But he, to me, I think he feels out of control. I think that he is, yeah. He recognizes that things have just lost, he's lost control of the situation. Remember here that there's speculation that Armand has done something also to Louis's memories, right? Not just Daniel's, but also Louis's. And I think that Louis might be recognizing that some things, he's not remembering things clearly. And there's a scene later in the trailer where Daniel looks at Louis. It doesn't, you don't see Armand in that shot.
Yeah. And Dan, I wrote that down, and Daniel like almost like kind of suggests something with his eyes or raises his eyes. I couldn't figure out how to phrase that.
Yeah. So I think that maybe, you know, to me, I was kind of like, what's he telling What's being said to Louis at that point?
Now they can chat.
That was important because they put it in real quick too.
Okay. Yeah. So I don't know. My question, my thought is that Louis feels like he's lost control of the situation. That would be my guess as to what, and who knows what conversation, because what Daniel says is, okay, where did we leave off? Which means they had been talking, something interrupted it. And then they started again. And well, now where did we leave off?
See, I took that as, post the, Rashid floats up there, you don't need ladders thing, whatever. I thought that was like, that happened, they have their conversation, and then he said, okay, now where did we leave off?
Yeah, see, to me, I feel like they are talking ahead of time. The three of them I could be very, very wrong about this, but I don't think that that's like the first scene of episode one of season two.
I'm not saying it's going to be the first scene. I'm saying it's going to be early on. It's not going to be later on.
Yeah.
Like it's going to be after I think the first scene will be them back in that room after Louis said, he's my boyfriend. They explain everything. And then the next scene would be, okay, where did we leave off?
Oh, my sweet summer child. They're not going to explain anything. Don't think they're going to explain anything. I think there's going to be stuff that happens won't even see the continuation of that scene.
Then that could be the first scene of the second season.
Could be, although I don't get any heightened emotion from Daniel, though. He was very matter of fact. He was sitting down. He's like, okay, where did we leave off? And now Louis is squirming.
And Louis is uncomfortable, and Armand is in a completely different outfit.
Yeah.
White shirt.
Armand's like, I am now the white.
Right.
So
he's Armand.
He's come back to Middle Earth to save us from Sauron.
But he's, and actually, I started saying this before, but let me pick that thread back up. There was talk about how the dark aesthetic was something that Armand was kind of pressing and pushing on to Louis. But here we are, and Armand's in white. Louis's still in the traditional black.
I thought we were still goth. He's like, no, now we're Renaissance. Now we're new romantics.
All right, so what else do we notice about...
All right, so then after that little, hey, let's get down to, let's get down to business. Mm-hmm. Then you get a lot of cut scenes, right?
Yeah.
Paris, which they say in the narration was an awakening for Louis.
Louis?
Who the fuck is Louis?
Louis. They say it's going to be an awakening for Louis, but in every scene, he still just looks, consternation would be the look that I saw, except when he's getting his ass beat somewhere in a sewer.
Okay. Now that I don't know where that was, if that was in a sewer or where it was, but someone was jumping on him, and that didn't look like any of the vampires from the theater or the coven. So I think that's a revenant.
Maybe that's when Armand comes and goes, let me help you.
No, I think that's a revenant. I think, remember how in the book they go and they try to find vampires? That's the whole point of going.
They find a revenant nest or whatever.
Yeah. First.
How do Louis and Armand meet in the book? Because in the movie, I know they meet after he was like eating a rat in a tunnel and he came out and he starts like miming him.
Yeah. In the book, they meet because Santiago is following Louis.
Yeah. Oh, that's right. Yes. That was Santiago miming with him. But Armand was right behind him on the street.
And then Armand comes in and stops whatever this...
Is that Armand wearing the giant floppy fedora?
Yes, he's wearing a floppy fedora. But that's how they meet. They meet... Santiago is... They know that Louis is there with Claudia.
So it's the same thing in the book. as it is in the movie.
In the yes, and then Armand says, "Come to the theater," and he gives him his card, and then they go to the theater.
Right. I just was wondering, like, maybe that scene is going to be right when Armand, you know, we see Armand or something, like coming in to save the day and fight off whatever's attacking him. But
when you see Louis in the tunnel, I think that that's going to be the initial contact with Santiago. But and then there's a scene, you know, what we haven't mentioned is new Claudia.
Right.
Delaney Hills. I am actually pleasantly surprised by Delaney. I shouldn't say I'm pleasantly surprised. That's not fair. I am happy to report that I think she's going to be a great addition. And here's, I'm going to be honest about Bailey. I never liked her accent. I never liked the way she spoke.
Too over the top?
No, it just, the way that she pronounced S's hurt my sound sensitivity.
Oh, well.
I know.
She should probably be fired from all jobs.
No, not at all. Not at all.
So that, folks, you heard it first. This is why she's no longer on the show.
Yeah, I just saw a tweet. She's been cut from Avatar 4 because of that particular speech.
No, it's not true. But so it's a very nitpicky thing. And obviously that's why I didn't say anything about it in our discussions, because that's completely on me. That is nothing. And she was fantastic. I loved Bailey. But Delaney, I think she's going to be just as good. And I think her accent is better, because she at the end says, who is that handsome man on the wall? And it's Lestat. Oh, that is our co-founder, Lestat de Liancourt.
She's like, never heard of him.
She was like, oh, and then simultaneously, Louis shit his pants.
You're right that the attack does not take place in the sewer. It's right after that sewer scene where they're walking through the tunnel or whatever, but it's on a forest floor. So that lends credence, I think, to your idea of it being Revenants, because they're kind of outside the city in the more rural areas or whatever. So, yeah. So Louis is taking this ass beating somewhere in a forest. So and this white, wild haired Revenant possibly is giving him the old two piece and a biscuit.
That does not look good, what's happening there. That looks rough.
Do you guys think that Louis was, like, you know, doing, like, a little midnight meetup in the bayou like he did in Louisiana, and that's where he came across the Revenant?
He's like, this is a very disappointing encounter on so many levels. He's
like, you do not look anything like you did on your Tinder profile.
Is not, yeah. And he's like getting slapped back and forth. He's like, this is not the face I was thinking of.
Tinder. Yeah, no, you totally catfished me, bro.
Yeah. Tinder Bulgaria just didn't, it was really bad.
Didn't work out.
Plenty
of amps.
I think that is, because if you look at that, it's very hard. I tried to stop it on the creature that's attacking him,
really,
but it doesn't look like a sophisticated vampire. It looks like Salem's Lot.
There's no gentility. Mm-mm. There's no style.
No.
There's no flash.
Yeah, none.
Wasn't sexy. Mm-mm.
No, he's not sexy. He's animal.
Oh boy.
Oh my god.
All right. So so we get some great quick cuts of. There's some kind of blood orgy that Claudia is taking part in. Everybody's like, you know, it's a circle jerk of vampire biting or something.
With each other.
Yeah, something's going on there.
Is that when all the blood squirts on the umbrellas?
No, I think that's a performance. I think as we get to, so there's Louis looking super annoyed with Armand, now perfectly coiffed, red eyes, a double-breasted suit. Everybody's smoking their brains out because, of course, it's the 40s.
And it's Paris.
Yeah, exactly.
It doesn't really have to be the 40s.
It's like, monsieur, you are in Paris. If you are not going to smoke, we have to ask you to leave. So it'll be all the smoking. And then, you know, like you said, they do some smash cuts to obvious theater performances.
Let's talk about the theater performances for a second.
Sure.
There's a scene where you see theater happening, and then it shows Claudia and Louis sitting in the audience, and Louis looks really put off and Claudia is smiling.
She's like, this is awesome.
This is awesome. And I think that might be the scene where the young woman is killed. I don't know if it'll be a young woman again.
Gotta be that scene.
Yeah, because remember, Louis in the book is put off by that.
In the movie, too.
in the he's at once intrigued and he finds her to be an erotic situation.
Yeah.
But also not an erotic situation. He finds her
erotic
attractive.
City?
He finds her attractive. And then, but doesn't like the whole situation. He feels for her that he has empathy for her. And that is a pathetic scene where she's begging she doesn't want to die.
She's naked.
Yeah. The naked. So, but the theater scenes look so good.
Yeah. It's like gruesome Moulin Rouge, right? I mean, who knows? Maybe they'll bring back Christina Aguilera to sing something there.
Oh my God. Lady Marmalade.
Exactly.
Oh my God.
But yeah, so it's very, you know, I mean, they flash on the opening scene, and I guess it's the MC has a rope, you know, ostensibly tied around his neck, but you can see it's on a harness or whatever. And you just kind of, I just kind of see him going, ¿Cómo se va?
How long have you been waiting to do that, Mark?
About 8 minutes. So just, I mean, soup. That's going to be a fucking hype ass scene right
now.
There.
Recall a lot of the writers write for stage. Yes. I think even Rollin has written for stage.
Absolutely.
So,
which I think is really the secret of this show's success.
Yeah.
Is because vampires are dead, but also bigger than life, right? Mm-hmm. And that kind of outsized acting, really rich dialogue, mm-hmm. and attention to detail on the sets, mm-hmm. and, you know, just the style of everything. Mm-hmm. You could just, I mean, I think that's really lent them a lot of their success.
Well, and a lot of these actors are theater kids.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, Asad Zaman, theater kid, Sam. I mean, they're all theater trained.
Absolutely.
As well as many of them have been on film and television. But they get it. They inhabit that world in real life as actors.
I think classically trained actors and theater, you know, like music theater or dramatic theater actors are always superior choices for a couple of things. Obviously historical pieces, but science fiction and fantasy, mm-hmm. because they give the silliness gravity, mm-hmm. right? They take it seriously and it doesn't trip off their tongue. You're not having, like, you know, Jerry Seinfeld up there trying to say, you know, the vampire Armand, right? Mm-hmm. I was like, hey, what's with all these vampires? But so, you know,
he's got a tight five about vampires. Exactly.
Why all the blood? All right.
Well, I never got to talk about Claudia. First of all, what about the theme? And I think we should talk about this, where she's like the creepy baby doll.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was weird. So I guess she gets sucked into the performance?
Yeah.
I don't know.
But yeah, it looks like they're like projecting light onto her face to make it look like it's raining or whatever.
It was like Little Orphan Annie on meth, because you know she's going to be a little killer. Like, you know, it's not going to end well for anybody.
Yeah, and she's got that doll makeup, basically.
Those little dots and stuff. But
which was wild.
Okay. You know, when we first started, I was so excited for Claudia. I didn't like her at the beginning. Then she grew on me, and by the end, she was my favorite. So now to have Bailey Bass just kind of ripped away, and now to have Delaney Hales as the new Claudia, it was kind of jarring for me. But I'm like, I gotta go into this with an open mind, because I was, you know, not very open-minded about Claudia the first time, because I just thought she was obnoxious. And Christina, her voice, 100%, 1,000 times better than Bailey. It's not a knock at her. It's just a better sounding, you know, Southern accent.
I mean, I feel like that's a knock.
Well, no, but I mean,
if that guy's 100 times better podcaster than Mark. Not a knock on you, Mark. I'm like, yeah, it kind of is.
No, just her accent.
Yes, I understand.
He could have been 1,000 times better. Yeah, I meant just her accent. Everything else she did was really, really, really well. But my only negative, and don't say anything negative, but I have to be honest. My only negative is she looks too young.
Well, in that doll outfit, clearly.
Even not in that doll outfit.
Yeah.
She just, to me, Bailey just looks kind of slightly a little more older, but I don't know. I feel like Delaney looks just a little bit younger. Like maybe Bailey looks 14, 15, and this one, you know, Delaney looks 12, 13.
Well, I think, you know, part of what they've got to do here, if they're going to follow what happens in the book, is they've got to make some kind of case that it is not okay to make children vampires.
Right. So the younger she looks, the better for that, right?
For that. But, you know, I've got to see her wardrobe, and it's not clear from what we're seeing her in the street scenes that she is dressing more adult, because she was at the end of the first season. And we know that this was the big struggle, right? Was to be to the that she's growing up in her, you know, her mind is growing up, but her body is staying the same. So I want to see it wouldn't. I don't know, unless there's a reason that sometimes they pretend that she's Louis's daughter and she dresses younger from time to time. And maybe that's easier for her to hunt that way. I don't know. But at any rate, what I noticed was the exchange. You mentioned it, Joanne, about Madeline. And
I really thought that was a little child. I got to go back and watch it.
You got to watch it.
She's a youthful face.
She's a youthful face, but she's clearly an adult.
Yeah.
She's clearly an adult. Correct. And it looks like she's in the theater and that she's seeing the theater, the performance in the theater. But then also in some way she's encountering Claudia in the street or someplace, not in the theater, perhaps. And they exchange, you know, smiles with one another. And then, as you mentioned, Joanne, another scene a little bit later, we see that she lays down on a table. This has to be
when
she's going to be turned by Louis. But so what did we think of the interactions between Madeline and Claudia? Because that's a big and important point, because what prompts this in the book is Claudia says, I know you don't want to stay with me, but I need someone to be with me. And I found, you know, remember in the book, she's a little girl, but she finds this doll maker who is Madeline. And she has Louis, she forces or really cajoles Louis into turning Madeline into a vampire who will then be her companion while Louis goes off and hangs around with Armand.
Yes.
In the book. And it looks like they may be following a similar tack.
Yeah. Well, so, but it's definitely, you know, a very planned, organized thing, which it was in the books as well, right?
Well, when he turns her?
Yeah.
Well, remember, Madeline kind of mocks him in the book and says...
Well, because he's been trying to get him to do it.
To get him to do it because he's...
Yeah, a little reverse psychology.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's hesitant, and then she mocks his manhood, remember?
Yeah, so in this case, it looks like... they're laying her down for like maybe a gyno exam or something.
So, what that looked like, Mark?
Well, you know, I can imagine. But she's laying down on a table. Claudia's kind of holding her hand and looking super excited, right? Mm-hmm. And presumably Louis is stalking around the outside going, I guess this is going to happen.
Yeah. Well,
what could possibly go wrong?
Well, let me put aside my depression for a moment while I...
deactivate wallowing.
He's got to come out of it for a minute to turn her.
In my mind, I was just picturing Madeline being, just older because she was older in the book, right? Like there was no distinction, like in the movie, you know, that character, that actress was definitely older. So it looked more like a mom than this one did. But I think it's going to be cool and interesting. And when does it happen, right? That's what I'm so obsessed with timeline. Like, is this going to happen early on? Is Claudia going to make it to the end of season two? Will she see season three? Because, right, doesn't it happen fairly quickly that after he turns Madeline, isn't it like the next day or something, they kill
very quickly, Claudia? They do, right. So
when does that happen?
Potentially that's happening at the end. And maybe that's a scene that's waiting to be at the end of season two. My big question is, when does Lestat come back? Where is Lestat?
We're hoping he comes back.
That's why I'm thinking it's going to happen quicker or sooner rather than later. I think Claudia is going to get the axe real quick because I think we know Louis, you know, in this a lot. So once it's done via flashbacks,
we know we're going to get Nikki.
So you have to have Lestat.
So you're going to have Lestat.
How are they going to work that in?
Is it going to be like a reconstruction Armand telling the story of the theater?
It might be that he's going to tell the story of how the theater comes. And that could be why she says, who is that handsome man on the wall? Well, that is our co-founder.
Well, maybe he's telling Lestat's story.
And then he starts to tell how the theater begins, which then... Is he a reliable narrator?
He's a big liar.
He's not. It's Armand, right? And then
I mean, you love him, but he's the devil.
I love Armand. So we know we're going to have some scenes with Nikki. Nikki would be long gone by this point because Nikki is he dies early on in the theater history. So we know we're going to have Nikki. So we're going to have Lestat. Moreover, Lestat in the picture on the wall is dressed as the wolf killer, as Lelio, and he is there in his full wolf killer regalia. Yeah. And right after this trailer was dropped, the next day, I think there was an interview with Sam Reed and a photo that accompanied it of Sam in full wolf killer. Yeah,
you're
outfit.
Definitely going to see that. Look, there's a 0% chance you don't see Lestat, of course, because he's in Prague.
No, of course not.
He was in Prague.
Well, yeah, we know.
Why would they have him there, right?
Yeah, he's there.
I think, however, there's a very, very, very tiny chance that you're going to see him in Dubai.
Oh, I think that's going to be the end. I think that's he's going to show up at the end.
What a way to end the season if that's the case.
And the other thing is we have to remember, Joe, you won't know this. Mark, you maybe won't even know this.
How dare you?
But the fact of the matter is that when Lestat, when this is all going on with the theater and mm-hmm. the trial, Claudia's mm-hmm. trial, Lestat is there. Armand
has
him.
Yeah, he's creeping around. Yeah.
No, Armand has him.
Yeah.
It kind of, he's starving him and he's on lockdown. And he's using Lestat to make it so that the coven will then go ahead and do what they do with Claudia and Louis, and so that he can get Louis to himself. That's all Armand.
Yeah.
Masterminding all of that. So if they are looking at all of, you know, a big chunk of the books, all of the books, and they're pulling bits and pieces from the different books,
yep.
Lestat is there.
Oh yeah.
Canonically.
Yeah.
And this is the scene. I don't know if you guys remember back in season one after episode 5 where the drop happened. There was a lot of chatter online to the effect of maybe Armand transplanted that memory into Louis because it kind of describes something that happens in The Vampire Armand when you know Armand drops Lestat from a great height.
Yeah.
Oh, right.
And so
that is a stretch.
So but maybe. So we'll see. We'll see how it ultimately plays out. I'm going to just wait and see. I'm not going to make a guess one way or another. However, Lestat is there, right? Canonically. So there's a chance that we see him. Now I'm wondering, is that look that Daniel and Louis exchange where there's like kind of a confusion or like a light bulb moment for them. Like, is that, I wonder if that's to do with Lestat. There's something that like a memory comes back or something. I don't know. So
could be
uncovered memories.
Yes. All right. So we're in the theater now. Let's talk about what you're expecting from the theater. Do you think it's going to be very similar to the way they portrayed it in the movie? It seems a little more colorful than that.
Mm-hmm. I want it to be super creepy and bloody. And
well, you saw blood spraying across the parasols of the...
Yeah. No, I'm excited for it. I think it's going to be, you know, I think the effects of it are going to be amazing.
I think that's totally normal.
I'd like to see a lot of it.
A lot of blood?
No, a lot of the theater.
Theater, yeah.
I'd like to see a lot of the theater.
More than one performance.
Yeah, and I'd like, and I clearly were seeing them meet.
Oh, we're going to get more than one.
And I like seeing them meet the coven, which is in, you know, behind, backstage or wherever that's going to, however they're going to put that in the show. But I loved seeing that. I like the idea of them interacting with these vampires and also these creative types. I think that's going to be very cool.
Where did the motorcycle gang fit in?
All right. So that, you guys were talking about Killer, about Bruce being a part of the motorcycle gang. That's a Queen of the Damned thing.
Yes.
Remember, Mark?
Of course.
When Baby Jenks and Killer are heading to the concert.
Right.
So there is, canonically, there is a motorcycle gang, but it happens
in America.
But I'm thinking that this was kind of a little take from Queen of the Damned, the book.
It's like Sons of Anarchy, where they have the, you know, the chapter in the in Ireland.
Maybe. Remember when we spoke about, which will be next week's episode, actually, talking about the Lost Boys. Well, there you go. There's a motorcycle gang. Yes. I was, when I saw that, you know, when I saw them going around on the motorcycles, I was like, God, this is a very Lost Boys moment for me. But like, you know, in 1940s attire.
Yeah.
It just, it reminded me of like a Mission Impossible moment where, like, I don't know, they're all coming out like a chase after them or something. And I'm like, uh-oh, what's happening?
I just think it's a cool arrival.
A cool arrival.
Hey, the gang's here.
Or a montage. Yeah. Like, hey, you've met us. Come on, let's get on the motorcycles and go.
So happy together. So now we've talked a little bit about what you want to see from the performance, right? But it does appear to be like kind of like half Théâtre des Vampires and half Cirque du Soleil.
I'm fine with that.
You have some weird Earl Dahl clown stuff going on with Claudia, which appears to be part of the show. The MC is, you know, they're all very heavily made up, as they, I assume, would have been back then, right? Mm-hmm. Now, do we think this is just post-liberation of Paris? Is that what we think?
It's hard for me to tell, and I'm not good at looking at motorcycles and knowing what year they're from. You know, I couldn't, and their clothing and stuff. But I think it should be still the 40s.
So I was thinking like 45, somewhere in 46.
I think maybe a little later than that, maybe 47.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, you know, the Nazis are gone. Now we're going to party for a while.
Mm-hmm.
But so it does seem to be, there's going to be some like weird avant-garde type stuff. But, you know, it's Paris. That's what they do.
Mm-hmm.
I'm here for it.
I'm very excited for it. So did you, I also want to make note, stepping away from the theater for 1 second.
Please do.
I remember reading online that there were casting calls for extras to inhabit scenes that were happening in the 1700s.
Right.
So I think, you know, for sure we're going to get to see. Some... And the only question to me then is how do we get that story? It's got to be Armand. And, you know, what I want to know is Armand going to narrate this to Daniel?
Right.
Or is Louis going to tell, well, you know, Armand told me these stories? Yeah. Or is Armand just going to narrate these stories today? I really am curious. Are we going to see him? Well,
how many unreliable narrators are we going to filter it through? What you're saying?
There's so many at this point, right?
Like Lestat told Armand, who told Louis, who told Daniel. That game of telephone is definitely no longer true. Whatever comes out of that. And Daniel's like, wait, this story is getting very confusing. Lestat was an octopus? What? Mm-hmm. I must have misheard you. So, yeah, it's definitely going. I think it's going to come from Armand. That's going to be an interesting thing to see how they negotiate the Lestat issue, because he's obviously hanging over this whole season.
Literally.
Yeah. So, you know, how are they going to sneak him back in? I mean, I know you think that'd be a great cliffhanger for end of the season for Lestat to show up in Dubai.
Yeah.
My guess is he does not.
Oh, you're such a party pooper, Mark.
Sorry.
Well, it depends on where we are in the timeline. We don't know. Is Lestat asleep at this point? Is he underground? We don't know.
I remember seeing a scene where it looks like there was war going on, like they're running.
Like a bomb?
Yeah,
going
or
off?
Something.
Yeah, something did explode.
So I don't know if they get to, you know, Europe before they go to Paris after it's liberated or what.
Well, remember,
I mean, they go to like Hungary or.
Well, they go to the Eastern Europe, but remember.
That's where they find the revenants.
Yep. And remember in the diaries that we've seen. The diary entries, Claudia's diaries, they talk about prisoner of war camps is what they are. And in the oil fields, Claudia writes about how bad they tasted.
Right.
So it's possible that they go there prior. Well, they are leaving prior to the end of the war.
Yeah.
So they do go over there during the war.
Yeah.
There's still a lot more that they need to film.
Sure.
And we, as we know, are in a writer's strike and actor's strike.
Yep. So ain't shit happening now.
So nothing is happening right now. So they've.
Yeah, this probably won't be out till like fall of 24.
I'm afraid that that's going to be the case because it's always already going to be in 2024. It's going to have, I would imagine it's going to get pushed back unless they had enough that they could edit and release and do maybe four episodes and then come have a break and come back and do the last four. That has happened on AMC. Cool.
Sure. Yeah, that would be, I wouldn't mind that. At least to be, because having to wait, imagine having to wait another year from now.
No, I don't want to do that. All right, so what else? Is there anything else that's standing out to anyone?
Of course, we get yet another scene in the rain.
Yes, and that's a really interesting, the composition of that scene mm-hmm. is very interesting because it looks like it's Louis and Armand sitting on a park bench. And when I saw that, the first thing I thought was, ooh, that's a tough place for Louis right there, because you know how that is when you're dating someone new and you do something that you've done in the past with your mythological ex,
right? Go to the same restaurant or something. Yeah. Like, I hope nobody says anything stupid.
Yeah, or you just feel like, you know, there's a pang, even if it ended badly, there's still like maybe a pang.
Yeah, you remember that memory, sure.
Yeah. And when I saw that, I was like, oh my gosh. And so I posted something about it. And then as it turned out, somebody else had already also posted something about it. So I went in and said, yep, that's exactly what I just had. That was just exactly the thought that I had. So that's going to be interesting because, of course, as much as we know that Lestat is looming over the theater and the coven, and he is looming over like Claudia's and Louis's collective memory of what they've done to him. Additionally, he is looming heavily as a romantic figure. And I refer to him as a mythological ex.
Casts a shadow over everything mm-hmm. for the rest of Louis's vampire life.
He really does.
Yeah, he does.
He does. You know what I mean? As much as Louis tries to strike out on his own.
Now, this is where the phrase, I just can't quit you, came from, right?
Yeah, but would you say that Louis's ex is, in terms of toxicity, who's more toxic, Armand?
I mean,
or Lestat?
That's a battle of the titans, the clash of the titans there, of toxic boyfriends. They're both so horrible.
Louis is the worst taste in guys.
Yeah, they're both so horrible on so many levels.
You know, hang on a second here.
Sophie's choice here. Who could it be?
Okay, we want to do that and say, because we know that Lestat is extra.
I am a lot.
He is a lot.
Yeah, but Armand is a
Louis,
lot.
I am a lot.
I am not perfect. He is a lot, Lestat, and they have this very, as portrayed in the show, very... Yes. Physically violent and fraught.
And toxic and manipulative relationship, yes.
Now, what we don't know, if we look at canon, what Armand is doing stuff. He's maneuvering things here, and he's being manipulative.
There's a lot of fuckery with Armand.
There is.
So then I would think Armand would be the more toxic.
That's why I said it's Clash of the Titans.
It is, because, you know, Lestat was manipulative in many ways.
So here's the thing. Lestat is clearly manipulative, but he does it in kind of a, you know, traditional emotional blackmail type way. Armand actually uses magic to manipulate people.
Yeah, that's true.
Like, he is changing people's memories.
Yeah. So Lestat is better at it because he doesn't need to use, you know, cheating tactics.
Or Armand is better at it because he's next level manipulator.
Yeah, I mean, that's his gift, is the spell gift.
Yeah.
So he's...
They're both terrible.
Yeah, they're equally bad, but equally delicious.
You wouldn't want your daughter to date one of them at the end of the day.
No, but she definitely would want to date probably both of them.
You know, we would have dated both of them. Who are you kidding?
No, I mean, when I was younger...
Those guys could have come in and rizzed you up.
100%. Come and wreck my life.
Yeah.
And I will... I will be here for it. The thing is that they are guys that you look at and you go, I could, if I with could the right it. Person, yeah. and right. I think that Louis is kind of in that place, like, right. like you I, know.
Yeah, I'm the one who can change him.
Yeah, because yeah. remember when the early days with Lestat, he's going and helping him pick out clothes, and he's
yeah.
taking him around the city, and he's at, you know, it's all very much like, okay, fun and games until, you know, someone's
till
dropping
someone,
you from
till someone loses a finger.
Yeah, that's true.
That was when Lestat was daddy. Now he's bad daddy, you know.
Oh God, please, I'm not the bad daddy. Not the bad daddy.
No, not the bad daddy.
Wow. That was the absolute worst. No, but you know, they were in their, you know, honeymoon phase, so to speak.
Yeah, then you move into the murder phase. I mean, that's pretty normal.
And then you try yes. to kill them.
Right.
Well, that actually, honestly though, in abusive relationships, it does happen.
It can, often ends
it can,
in violence.
It can
yeah.
end in violence one way or another.
Well, and I feel like Louis just kind of almost like winked at Lestat. It's like, all right, we totally killed him. Okay, I'm just going to put you in this box right here.
Yeah.
You'll be fine. Just grab some rats. It'll be cool.
Okay, that's a good question, though.
I can't quit you, Lestat.
Let's speculate a little bit about that. Does Lestat, when Lestat comes back to and sees Louis, does Lestat come back angry?
I bet you he does. And Louis's like, I knew you weren't dead the whole time. Calm down.
They changed this so that Louis does the coup de grace.
I'm glad it was you.
Yes. Oh, God. Oh, my God. I forgot about that scene. Oh, that he says that. I could never forget that scene, but I forgot that he says that. I'm glad it was you. Oh.
First of all, Lestat has a pretty big capacity to overlook very heinous crimes.
That's true, because he commits them. He's yeah. like, whatever, it
he's
doesn't
like,
matter.
He's like, hey, that's all part
you
of the...
You just tried it. It didn't work yeah. out.
Yeah, I mean, that's all part of the vampire lifestyle, man, or mm-hmm. death style, whatever you want to call it, where we're extravagant. We do, you know, when we fight, people die. And sometimes it's us.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't see a big... like explosive anger with Louis, although, you know, with Lestat, it's going to be passive aggressive. Yeah, but yeah, well, remember that time you killed me?
Oh, I think he's going to put them down and be like, you guys can't even do anything right. You know, something like that.
Oh, that's you possible. Think so? Oh, that's possible,
but,
actually.
But he's definitely going to have it in for Claudia.
Well, do you think he will have it in for Claudia?
Yeah.
I think he's going to have it in for Armand, because now Armand has his man.
Maybe, but Lestat is not a traditional jealousy kind of guy.
That's true. He was jealous in that he heard their hearts dancing,
right,
Mark.
Right. But I mean, he didn't, you know, run out and kill the guy. Not that we know of it anyway.
No, he didn't, because Louis yeah. says that he sees Jonah later yeah. in life.
So, yes, he doesn't like Louis, you know, being with other people. That's true. But he's also not going to sit there and take it as some kind of comment on him,
right?
His self-image is fine, right? It's intact. He's like, oh, well, you know, I'll wait another century and then I'll have Louis back.
Yeah.
You know?
I'll go be a rock star and I'll come back.
Yeah, wait till I'm a rock music video star.
And then he'll come to me.
And then
he
he'll
does.
Come to me, which he does. That's right.
It was all part of his evil plan.
It's like, move over, tough cookie. Here comes Louis.
All right, so let's go around the table as we wrap up and say, what is it that we're all looking most forward to seeing in season two?
I am super excited to see how they navigate the Armand Rashid thing.
Mm-hmm.
I definitely am looking forward to that. But of course, I think the highlight of the season, because they have a real chance there. These are people who love theater.
Mm-hmm.
They're in a fucking vampire show.
Mm-hmm.
You don't think they're going to go all out on the theater scenes?
Mm-hmm.
I think there's going to be some real exciting, heart-pounding stuff in the theaters.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I 100% agree with you, Mark. The theater is going to be, I'm expecting it to be some of their best work yet in terms of special effects and storyline. I think it's just going to be exactly what we want it to be, weird, creepy, goth kind of holy crap moments. I think we're going to get a few of them. So I'm excited for the theater, but if I had to pick one moment, it would be the inevitable encounter between Louis and Lestat of, hey, you left me for dead. That is what I'm waiting for the most.
Okay. For me, it is all Armand. I think this is going to be a very Armand-centric season, and I am ready for that.
Now, didn't you suggest that they change the name of the show to Interview with the Armand?
No. No, but I think it's going to be a lot, and I love the complication that he causes.
Yeah.
And Interview with the Vampire, the book for me, Armand's appearance in there again, he's not my favorite in that book. And his appearance to me in that was always kind of like, why are you wasting my time? Yeah. I really don't want to hear about that, or I don't want to read about this. I wasn't that into him as a character. Right. But here, I like that they've introduced him as Rashid. They've done this trickery, this little bit of fuckery. I am here for it.
Yeah.
And I think that when we see season two, that trickery with his identity and having him there as a part of the interview, which did not happen in the book, I think that's going to be so enriching to the story because he is going to be, now you've got, before we had Louis and Claudia's diaries as the narrators, now we're going to have Armand coming in and tell. And remember, at the end of the last season, he was saying, you don't know, you only know half of the story. You don't know the rest of this story. I think
considering about a quarter of what you were told is probably bullshit, you probably know a little bit less than half.
Yeah. I mean, I am very excited to see where they go with Armand.
You were talking about triangles earlier.
Mm-hmm.
In physics, there's a thing called the three-body problem, which, you know, if you're calculating what's happening with, like, just the moon and the earth, you know, that's fairly straightforward physics. If you calculate what's happening with the earth and the sun, also very straightforward. It's just two bodies. You take their gravity into account. But when you have a third body there that's interacting with both the earth and the sun and, say, the moon, that makes it – that's a whole – other level of complexity. And that's what we're going to have here, where it was complicated, right? With Louis and Lestat. Then it got more complicated when Claudia joined in. Then you're going to have Claudia and Louis again, adds an additional layer of complication by bringing Armand into the mix. And then when Lestat shows back up, shit's going to get wild.
It wild. Really is.
When you said three body, I thought you meant a throuple.
Well, I mean, sort of.
Like, where is he going with this?
Yeah, no, and it is. I would argue that Lestat is never gone from... He's always there because he is such a part of Louis's makeup. And Claudia.
Yeah.
I mean, he's their creator.
Of course.
You know, he sired them, so... There's that. Then there's the fact that they tried to kill him and not well. And Claudia knows it. Yeah. Claudia knows they didn't finish the job.
Right.
And she's so she's going to, you know, she's going to be looking over her shoulder. She knows they didn't finish the job.
That's
going to
be in their annual review.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, you know, killing your ex-lover did not meet expectations.
I didn't. You do not. You're not even getting
below
a cost
expectations.
Of living expense,
yes.
Right?
Yes.
Yeah. Oh my God. Armand is definitely it because he looks so dreamy. And the way that they're doing this is one of the things that I saw online too that I think is worth talking about, which is kind of the androgyny of Armand. I mean, he's masculine, but in a way
he's also
like,
very delicate and refined looking.
And he looks even more so in the white, very delicate.
He's like wearing a fucking ascot.
But
he reminds me
a little, like they were showing some, I think that they showed Marlena Dietrich, the person that I saw posting about this, had a image of Marlena Dietrich.
Right.
He's giving me that vibe. And whatever they're doing with costuming, the makeup, what I've seen so far is astonishingly good. It was last year. It continues in that vein. They were recently, Comic-Con in San Diego happened, and they did this activation station, a street an Interview with a Vampire, and they had they did these amazing building wraps,
right?
And then you go to their merch site and they've got just these It's really? Like
one hat that says, I heart Lestat.
And like a t-shirt that just has a really big, it looks like, you know, in the 70s when you used to have the iron on things that you would put on t-shirts.
Sure.
And it looks like that. And it's like, it's like Louis in big capital letters or Lestat. What are you doing?
I think they also had
doing your design.
Maybe there was a Vote for Pedro shirt on that site somewhere.
I don't know. It's just so so incongruous.
Yeah, maybe they need to bring us in for some marketing consultation.
I don't even think they need to bring us in for marketing. I just would like them to follow our page.
Yeah, come on,
and
guys.
Acknowledge that we
get
exist.
Up off your ass.
send us a couple actors our way too for a quick interview.
Yeah, wouldn't mind having you know who I'd really love to interview is one of the writers.
Of course.
I would love.
Oh, that would be a lot of fun.
Hannah Moskowitz was on Twitter talking about how she can't wait for everyone to see season two, like really hyping it up. And I thought, girl, I am. Can I interview you, please?
Yeah.
I would love to
come
talk.
On.
Or even Carol Kutzel, the costume designer. Oh, my God.
Intimacy coordinator. We'll talk to any of those.
Anybody, please.
Not that intimacy coordinator is not an important job. It is.
It is. Man, I'll talk to craft services.
Yeah,
I don't care. Like,
third
whoever.
Gaffer is fine.
I was just going to say craft services. Yeah. Why not?
What does Sam eat? What's his favorite Sammy?
Does he
like Vegemite? Yeah, that's nice.
I was just going to say, do you bring him Vegemite sandwiches?
No, don't do the accent.
Why not?
No.
I can't help it.
Stop.
You don't like Vegemite.
Let him.
Do you not like Vegemite?
Oh, my God. I just can't.
Do you want New Zealand next?
No. It's like Australian.
But it's softer. But do you like some Vegemite?
You're a little softer on the consonants. Yeah,
you like a little bit of Vegemite?
You whisper.
You sound like your balls haven't dropped.
We could get two of the Hobbit towels.
Oh, my God. All right.
Let's before this spirals completely out of control.
All right. So what we are going to do is come back with an episode next week where we're really going to start diving into actually Vampire Diaries.
Yeah. Which I know Joanne is not excited about at all.
So we're going to first have Joanne talking a little bit about her experience interviewing some of the guys and women. Well, you didn't really talk to any of the women, right? You mainly talked to the men. Why am I surprised by this?
You shouldn't be.
I talked to female attendees of the convention, and I asked a question of a male star of the show.
Right, okay. And had multiple conversations with Damon.
Ian, we go by Ian.
Oh,
now.
Okay.
He's like, just call me Ian, and I'm like, all right. Okay. I did. I actually got to meet him twice, so.
In our next episode, we'll have some talk about that. You're going to get to hear some of the actual answers that Joanne received because she was taping a good reporter. And then we are going to, in a couple of future episodes, we're going to talk about the show, and we're going to kind of take it season by season rather than episode by episode. And we'll sprinkle that in throughout the rest of the year.
Unless we get some big news
on
the interview side, and then we'll break in for that.
Yeah, and we'll have some interview stuff, but we're going to try and keep a little variety here because there's only so much that we can really talk about interviewing.
But everything we discuss will have sharp teeth.
It will, definitely. And we are going to always... It's inevitable because of where Anne Rice's work sits in the genre and as a sort of catalyst for a lot of things that came after her.
New vampirism.
Yeah, new vampirism. It's always going to be a touch point for us.
Yes.
All right. So I guess that's it. Joe, you want to take us out?
Thank you guys for listening to us. We hope you enjoyed our episode reviewing the season 2 trailer of Interview with the Vampire. Feel free to follow us on Twitter at @vampire_insider. You can also follow Mark and Christina on their personal pages. Mark is at Mark Eats Peach, and Christina is at Christina Gen X. Thank you guys, and have a good night.
All right, bye.
Peace out, Cub Scouts.